We've been spending the last weeks and months going through Matthew's Gospel and looking at all that Jesus said and did. And the reason we've been doing that is that if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to actually know what he said and what he did. And what I'd like to do this morning is to take the verses that we've got, which are very familiar verses to us. They're about the harvest and asking to send out labourers into the harvest, but to first of all put them in the context of what we've been looking at, and then to look at actually what those verses say, and then lastly to think how that might apply to us at this Christmas time. So first of all, the context. Matthew is writing, and Matthew is a Jew. He was the tax collector. And in fact, in the chapter that we're looking at the moment, we hear of him being called by Jesus and him following Jesus. So he was a rich Jew, but he was also an outcast by Jewish society because he was working for the Romans. But he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he sets down in the gospel to put to the Jews who have become Christians what Jesus said and did. Mark, a gospel that was written before, was very much about what Jesus did, but not much about what he said. And Matthew builds on that and takes what Mark shows that Jesus did, but adds Jesus' teachings around it. And he's very much writing towards Jewish Christians, and he's writing about the kingdom of heaven. So throughout Matthew, we hear of the kingdom of heaven. He uses the word heaven because Jews do not use the word God. And in the other Gospels, you'll read it's kingdom of God. So that's the message. And what we've looked at so far is in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And that's all the teaching, or the first teaching of Jesus. Then in chapters 8 and 9, and right now we're at the end of chapter 9, we've been hearing about Jesus healing people. He heals a leper, he heals a woman who's got a hemorrhage, he heals a paralyzed man. Then he casts out demons. So if you remember the story where he sends the demons into the pigs and they run over the cliff. He calms a storm when he's with the disciples on the lake. And he also raises from the dead the daughter of the rich ruler. And that's been in chapters 8 and 9. And we're seeing that Jesus has authority over diseases, over demons, over disasters, the storms, and even over death. And Matthew is demonstrating to the people, here is the teaching of Jesus, and that is backed up by the authority that he has over everything that we see around us. And before he went, so I'm painting this picture of the context, you'll see in a minute, before he started all that, in chapter 5, we read this verse at the end of chapter 4. It's Matthew 4:23. And Matthew says this, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, every infirmity among the people." So Matthew has set the scene by saying Jesus was going around all the villages, teaching, proclaiming the gospel, and healing. Then, chapters 5, 6, and 7, he does the teaching. Chapters 8 and 9, he demonstrates the authority with healing and the miracles that he did. Now, why do I say all this? Why is that relevant to what we're looking at today? Well, if we now turn to our passage today and we look at the first verse of the passage that we had, which is verse 35, we read this. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. Matthew is repeating what he said in chapter 4, verse 23. So if you like, we're now seeing the two bookends of what's been covered in the Sermon on the Mount and in all the miracles and actions that Jesus did. One bookend is 4:23. He went around everywhere teaching, preaching, and healing. Bookend at the end, 9:35, he went around everywhere teaching, preaching, and healing. This is the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus has come for. This is what he's proclaiming. And this is what Matthew is explaining to everyone. Now, why then is that relevant for what we go on to? And we're going into the harvest. And the reason is, when the gospel was written, there was no chapters and verses. It was just written. And the danger for us is that we kind of say, oh, that's the end of that chapter, we now move on. The words that follow our reading today is that Jesus chooses the 12 disciples and he sends them out. And what does he send them out to do? To preach, teach, and heal. And we'll look at that in a minute. So what Matthew is kind of saying is, here is everything that Jesus did. He went around, he preached, he taught, he healed. He did all that, and now is the transition into he's now going to get his disciples to go and do that. And now it's going to be Jesus' ministry going on, not just Jesus himself, but also the disciples. And now we begin to see the relevance of the harvest and the workers of few. So this verse, this section, is a transition from Jesus being demonstrated as having all authority and doing it himself to Jesus now with his followers and his disciples doing it. Therefore, this section is very relevant to us if we want to be his disciples. Does that make sense? Yeah. So now that's the context. So now we're going to actually look at what it says. And then we're going to try and look at, well, how does that apply to us right now in Hemingford Grey as we approach Christmas? Is it relevant or is it just a story of long ago? So let's look at what it actually says now. We've looked at verse 35, which is that repetition. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. Verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So I want you to try and get this picture now of sheep without a shepherd. And I was thinking about it coming to church this morning, and it actually didn't grab me. Right? I was trying to get the picture, and all I could get was walking to the meadow to go to St. Ives, and the sheep there, and there's no shepherd. And I kind of thought, well, you know, they're not too badly off, really. So is that the right picture? And it suddenly dawned on me, no, it's not the right picture. The right picture is seeing a lot of sheep, quite hungry, and actually going through the streets of Hemingford Grey or even St. Ives with the traffic going in all directions. That's sheep without a shepherd. The sheep not being looked after, they're not protected, they're not being fed, and they're in danger. And that's the kind of picture Jesus was saying. He was looking out and saying, this is what the world is like. It's unprotected, it's not safe, it's not looked after, it's not cared for. It needs a shepherd. And he is the shepherd. So that's a picture for each of us. He comes for the lost sheep. And he comes to save and to protect and to care for them. And moving on to the next verse, he says, then he said to his disciples, and now it switches from Jesus to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So the picture changes now. It's not sheep and a shepherd. It's now a harvest. It's a wheat field. I grew up on a farm, and every year we would harvest. And I can remember it being busy towards the end of August when you're trying to get all the grain in a very short period of time, trying to avoid the rain, right? And you want it to have come ripe, but at the same time you don't want the rain to come and then it to be lost. And it's a very busy time, and actually the farmer goes out and just hires people from everywhere because there's this time to get the harvest in. So whereas Jesus is the shepherd, the metaphor now is the harvest, and he needs lots of workers to help him to bring in the harvest. And the lots of workers is he turns around and speaks to the disciples. So he's turning around to us and saying, the harvest is there, and I need you to help me bring in the harvest. Then he goes on and says, the last verse, pray to send out laborers into the harvest. And I guess there is a danger in kind of, is that all we're to do? In other words, is that the end? That's the end of the reading, end of chapter 9. We're disciples, and what we're called is pray to God to send out laborers into the harvest. And I would challenge us with that, because as I said to you, there's no chapters and there's no verses. And if we go on, literally the next word, and he called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority, and he sent them out, and he told them, go and preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick. So when he said, pray to God to send the harvesters, the workers, he was also immediately saying, and now I choose you, and I give you all authority, because I have all authority. And I'm sending you out now to preach and teach just like I did. So I think in the sense of praying for the workers, Jesus is also challenging us to be those workers and asking us to go out. So that's what I think these verses mean. And now perhaps to try and think of the application today. And I find this very difficult. And I'm going to give you a couple of stories. One which is kind of very personal and one which I kind of know, which hopefully will kind of perhaps enable us to apply it to our situation today. Some of you will know anyway, I worked all my life, Penny and I worked all our lives, for a Christian mission. And we spent 10 years working in Africa, and then I spent many years travelling the world for this organisation, which, as a Christian organisation, helps people with disability. And one time I went to Peru, and I went to the city of Lima, and I was invited to go there by an organisation that was providing cataract surgery and things like that to poor people. And our mission were helping them to do that. So I was entertained by eye surgeons and doctors like that in Lima, Peru, and met by them and taken to a hotel. And they said to me, tomorrow morning we are going out to the work and we'll collect you at 7 o'clock. So at 7 o'clock they collected me. We drove through the streets of Lima, Peru, and it kind of went from richer to not so rich, to less rich, to poor, to kind of very poor. And we were really in a slum area. And driving through the slum area, suddenly there was a big brick wall. And in the brick wall there was a gate, and the car went up to the gate, and words were exchanged, the gate was opened, and we went through. And the other side of this brick wall, I can only and we drove again for another 10 or 15 minutes, but I can only describe it to you as the worst place in the world I've ever seen. The landscape was, if I can put it, like the moon. It was just dust and dirt. There wasn't a bit of green anywhere. It was just horrible. And we drove for about 15 minutes, and then we came to a group of people who were literally living in cardboard boxes. And these people were refugees from the countryside who were fleeing from the guerrilla movement, which was called the Shining Light guerrilla movement. They were fleeing from them, but the people, even the very poor people, would not let them into the city because they were afraid that some of them were actually part of the guerrilla movement. And therefore, they kept them out behind this wall, even out of the poorest area. And so there were people from a countryside, they'd lived quite well, but they'd had to be refugees, and now they were living in cardboard boxes. And as I looked at them, they seemed to be moving. They put soil on a kind of blanket, and then the people would carry the blanket about 100 metres, and then they would put the soil down again. And I said, because I didn't speak the language, I said, what are they doing? And they said, they're making a football pitch. Right? And I just couldn't believe it. And here we were in the baking sun, dust everywhere, and these people were trying to get some normality back in life by creating a football pitch. We've had this week the memory of the First World War and the kind of playing football. It was like that. You know, anything to bring a little bit of normal life into their lives. So we were there to examine them and see their eyes and see what treatment they needed. And we did all that and spent 3 or 4 hours there. And then we drove about 30 minutes outside. And suddenly we stopped and we were in a hotel. And we were at the side of a swimming pool, and there was a huge table, and on it was beer and chicken and everything, and we were now all going to have lunch. And I had to make a speech because I was the guest of honour. And I was just kind of shattered between what I'd seen in the morning and what I was seeing now. Does that make sense? Like 2 kilometres over there was dust and people in cardboard boxes trying to level a football pitch. And here we were by a beautiful swimming pool with beer and all the food and everything. And it was all part of the same morning, all part of my life working for this Christian mission. And because I had to say something, I kind of just turned around to God and said, I don't understand. What's real, that or this? And it was a very kind of clear answer, was the reality is they exist 2 kilometres apart. That's the reality. And the reality is you have to live in both those worlds, because I call you to that. Now, the reason I say that is I think actually that's the reality for a lot of us. Like we live in Hemingford Grey and we live in comfort and joy and we live in everything that we have at Christmas, but we also have the reality of everything we see on the TV screen or what we hear about homelessness in London or whatever. And actually, it's just difficult because the harvest looks so big and it looks so difficult for us to do anything about it. So let me give you the final story, and then I'll try and wind up with the application. And this is a story. This is not that has actually happened to me. But this is a story of a young boy who comes down on a beautiful beach, and the sun's shining and the waves are coming in. And as he looks at this beautiful beach, he sees millions upon millions of starfish on the beach, and they've been washed up by the tide. And they're now lying there on the beach under the baking sun, gradually dying. And as he looks, he sees an old man going along the beach, and every so often the old man steps down, picks up a starfish, and throws it in the sea. And then he moves on again. And the young boy goes down to the old man and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm picking up a starfish and putting it in the sea." And he says, "But that's crazy." He says, "There's millions and millions and millions of them. You can't possibly help them all." And the old man says, "No, I can't. But I can help this one. And I can help this one." And so what I want to put to you is those two stories at this Christmas time. We are called, if we're to be followers of Jesus, to proclaim the good news, to teach, and to heal, to bring healing. Christmas is a time when we can proclaim the good news. It's the best time of the year to go to our friends and our relatives and our neighbours and say, "Why don't you come to church this Christmas?" And maybe we can't do it for a lot, but maybe we can do it for one person. At the same time, called to healing and to bring healing to people and the nation. Christmas is a time of being hungry and homeless for many people. Some of those people are in England, some are overseas. We have our mission partners. People like Richard works for Mission Possible, INF, Jigsaw. We're very fortunate as a church that we have many contacts with people overseas. We can't do everything. But maybe you can pick one of those and ask God to give you the compassion that Jesus had for that work so that we can do our bit. So I want to finish up with the application for us at this Christmas. We're told to pray. So I would ask that we pray that we would have compassion to be ready to proclaim the good news to those that need it and to bring healing to those that need it. And as we have been given so much, that we are ready to give back. And in doing that, we are contributing to the kingdom of God and we're being disciples of Jesus. Yeah.